If you have your Bibles with you this morning and want to read along, I'm going to be taking my reading lesson out of the sixth chapter of the book of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. I'll be reading about the first 10 verses of this. Apostle Paul speaking here to the church in Corinth, and he says here, starting in the first verse of this sixth chapter, "We then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain." If you remember, anyone remembers, last week I preached on the grace of God, and that some of the things that I preached on last week, I found out was for me this week. I don't know if it had any effects on anybody, but it did me. I know thinking about some of the things that I preached on, some of the things I said, they hit me square in the face this week while I was at work. And so I pray that that everybody knows and understands that when I'm up here preaching, I'm preaching myself just as many times as I am preaching to anybody else. And it's for all of us. There's not a doubt in my mind that I'm just a mouthpiece that the Lord is using to get a point across. I pray, always pray, that I can say it in a manner or in a way that will be effective and that will be helpful for all of us. Because hopefully we're all growing in the Lord. I hope, you know, if we're not, we're going in the wrong direction. And I want us to all grow. I need to grow. And we all need to grow. The things that I preached on last week wasn't anything new. I don't think it was anything that anybody here had ever heard before. But I think there's different levels of understanding, and there's different levels of expectation in that level of understanding. I believe the more that we grow in the Lord, that there are different levels that the Lord expects of us. That there's a greater responsibility to us to react to the teaching and the preaching of God's Word and the effects that it may have on us in those things. But as I went through this week and I got to thinking, there was the particular thought that came to my mind afterwards was basically the word patience. Patience. I know this was Sister Betty's gift, and I thought about that too, and you know, but the as we read through this morning, I just want us to listen, and I want the word to have its effect upon our hearts, that it will help us all. I'll start reading again here. It says, "We then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, in a day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed." And I believe this is Apostle Paul speaking of himself. "But in all things approving ourselves as ministers of God in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings. by pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as chastened and not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing yet possessing all things. I'm going to stop my reading with that. Patience is my thought today. In the beginning of this reading here, the Apostle Paul speaking of patience. He was speaking of it as being a minister of God and also of the work and the workers that he was spoke of in the very first verse. You know, patience is a thing. I guess most of us, when we can think about the word patience, we think that it's not something that we actually want to pray for. Because in the instance of a prayer to have patience, that means there's trouble. There's suffering, there's sorrow, there are things that are going on that is not comfortable in your life, that's not easy, that's not good, that you know that it's your responsibility, that you've got to deal with these things, that you've got to handle them in a manner that's pleasing to God, and that it's hard. And you know that you must have the Lord's help, and you know that God has to take things into His hands and help you. We don't pray for patience very often. Seemingly, I guess because of that, we live in a time that we want what we want, when we want, and how we want. And many of these things, they don't happen in our time. As we mature in our Christian walk, patience is a major factor. If you'll notice, probably the majority of the people that have had a lot of adversity in their lives and in their families and a lot of sicknesses and a lot of troubles in their life, you will find that those people are most likely going to be a very patient people. They're going to be a patient person. They're going to be able to take things in stride, and they're going to be able to handle situations, and they're going to be able to handle problems because they've already been faced with adversity. And it's brought them to the point of understanding that many times and in many instances that God is in control, and that there's a situation and a time and a place where we as just a person of God have to step back and rely wholeheartedly upon Him and have patience and faith in our Lord and Savior, that He has got it in His hands and that He's going to handle it and He's going to take care of it in accordance to His will. Many times I feel that we don't, the reason the Bible tells us that the reason many of our prayers is not answered is because it's not the will of God that they be answered for whatever purpose or whatever reason that be. But it's of God. So we think about these things, and you think about, I guess you can think about some of the things that entails. You think about just these people that's going to be out there playing football today. You know, they've endured a whole season of battling and fighting and going through and training and preparation and everything for the big moment today. They've endured through this season, through all the pain and infliction that was put upon them, they've endured. And you and I have been called on. When the Lord saved our soul, we was put in that position. We read through here of the things. And these things that I read about to you in your hearing this morning in this sixth chapter was the things that had happened to the Apostle Paul. These were things that had come upon him in his life. You figure, I spoke about the grace of God last week and how, and this all fits together for me in the sense that that it rains on the just and the unjust, that we are not to expect ourselves to be any better than anyone else. But these things that we deal with, and I got to thinking, you know, this week, how often do we hear that if you'll do this, and if you'll do this, and if you'll do this, then your life is going to be blessed? How often have you heard me say from this pulpit that if you'll do this, and if you'll do this, if you'll come to church, and if you'll follow the Lord's will, and if you'll do this, and if you'll do this, and if you'll do this, that you'll be blessed? Quite often. Quite often. And I believe it with all my heart. But what about for those that do this, all of a sudden that possibly have never, I guess as old saying, hadn't really jumped on the bandwagon and really started serving the Lord like they should, and then all of a sudden they started doing, they started following, they was right in line, and they were just going and doing everything that they've been instructed to do, and then hardship comes upon them, and their faith gets weak, and it gets tested, and it gets tried, and then they fall away again. It happens. I've seen it happen. I've seen people's that seemingly that they wanted to do good and do good for God, and all of a sudden there's something comes upon them and their faith gets tested and it gets tried and they get pushed and they give up. They give up. This word patience. This word patience, if you're here this morning and you're in that situation, remember this word patience. As we look here and we find that the Apostle Paul here in stripes, he was beat, he was imprisoned, labored, watchings, fastings. We don't do any of that anymore. Fasting, very, you don't hear of anybody doing that, taking two or three or four days where they meditate and they pray and they don't eat or drink anything. By pureness, by knowledge, by long suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, love unfeigned, by the word of truth, by the power of God. All these different things that befell him. He knew and he was taught to have patience. He understood that there was something better awaiting for him. He understood that there was something better waiting for him. He knew this and he understood this. All these people that are, you know, in the world today, they strive for, I guess, an end. You know, they want to try to win the prize, don't they? They're playing a ball game today to win the Super Bowl. You know, but the winning for a Christian, as we look over here in the 12th chapter of the book of Hebrews, it says, wherefore, seeing that we ought we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Let us lay aside every weight and sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Let us run the race. You and I are in a race. We're in a worldly position, and the eyes, we're in a race, and we're trying to get to the finish line. And there are so many obstacles that is in the way before us. There's all kinds of things, and I've already stated and mentioned, and I think it's so important for us to know and understand that those obstacles is going to jump out in front of us just like they're going to jump out in front of anybody else. How do we handle it? How do we handle it? That's what makes the difference. The second verse, it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising shame, and is set down on the right hand of the throne of God. The author and finisher of our faith, Jesus. You think about Jesus, and just a little bit, and we'll talk about Him. One of the other examples that as we all think about, when you think about the word patience, the person that is depicted in the Bible, somebody says that you have the patience of Job. The life that Job had and the things that Job went through and all the things that come upon him. After all these things that he went through, after he lost his family and his animals and his servants and all the things that happened to him, when you read in the first couple or three chapters of the book of Job, you can go back down to the end in the 42nd chapter and you can see the understanding that Job got. You know, his wife said in the very beginning that, Job, why don't you just curse God and die? If she had faith in the Lord, if she did have it, well, it looks like she just lost it because of all the situations that beset them, did it? And we can do that. I have seen people that come in to hear the word, possibly that are lost. Some may have gotten saved. But then there's trouble gets a hold of them. There's sickness or sorrow that happens in their family or death or something that overtakes them, and they lose their faith. Now, I'm not saying if they got saved, they lost their salvation. But they lost the understanding in their mind that God is in charge, and that if we as God's people would just continue forward in the plan and the direction that He has for us, that He's going to take care of us through all the troubles and sorrows in our life. All of them. That He's in control. That the things that we go through are for a purpose and a reason, and that so you and I, when we go through these things, that we can help our brothers and sisters, we can instruct, we can pray, we can know what they're feeling. We can do these things. We can help each one another through our infirmities. And the Apostle Paul knew about this. He experienced it firsthand. Well, just read a few verses here from what Job said after he had went through everything and the Lord had spoken to him. And it says, Job answered the Lord and said, I know thou can do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. And on down in the 5th and 6th verse, he says, I have heard thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. After all the things that poor old Job had to go through, he come to the understanding when he truly understood and got a glimpse of the glory and the goodness and the mercy and the righteousness of God, just exactly what he was. After all that he'd been through, he said he repented in dust and ashes. Jesus, our Lord and our Savior, as the example of for all of us in everything, in every teaching, over here in the 15th chapter of the book of Romans, the Apostle Paul speaking again here. He says, "We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproached thee fell on me. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope." All the things that happened, that we, through patience, would have hope. "That ye may be of one mind and one mouth, glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." The God of patience and consolation says in this fifth verse, "Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Jesus Christ." The like-mindedness. To be patient. The God of patience. Just imagine how patient He was with us. How patient He is with us every day. I look and see how patient was He with me last week when I was at work and that message of my very own hit me right square in the face. How patient and long-suffering is it with the God that we serve? He is truly in control. He's in control. Think about these verses that we read so often. Over in the 53rd chapter of the book of Isaiah, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And he hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath bore our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all. Jesus, the ultimate one that endured everything for us, and is still seated on the right hand of God, looking down in judgment upon this world, being patient with us, being loving with us, being caring for us, looking down, that He's in control. He is in control. And as we run this race, you know, we've spoke of sanctification many times, and in that part of what being running that race is doing is growing closer to God. The closer you get to the finish line, the closer you want to be to God, the more Christ-like that you want to be. In your lives and in your thoughts and in your actions, so that we don't let our faith be overthrown by the things that take us over in this world, the things that attack us, the sicknesses, the sorrows that happens to everybody. You might even think about the chastening aspect of it. You think about the chastening aspect of this, and how the Lord chastens, the Bible says, He chastens those whom He loves. He corrects us and He directs us in the right direction. Those without chastening, the Bible says, are bastards and not His children. So as we endure things and we go through things in this life, we need to have patience for what we understand that the Lord is in control. There's so many things that we don't have control about in this. I know Brother Terry, I know his trouble. The place he works for is wanting him to work all the time to make them money. I work for one just like it. They want more and more and more and more every day. They expect more. That got to me this week. And then I was shown I wasn't the only one. And if I was going to make that my choice to do that, then that's what I was going to have to deal with. We're not anybody better than anybody else, but we are a blessed people. We truly are. I was thinking about, and I'm closing, and I'll hush a minute, but I was thinking about, with everything that we have to deal with, you know, as we live in this world that, you know, that we have to be separate and apart, that we can't just go out in the world and live like the world and be like the world, which seems so alluring to us so many times and so often. Yet those of us that have been saved by God's grace and having to deal with all the situations with the knowledge and understanding of that and expected by God to be able to handle it and to take it are so much more blessed than those that don't know and have never been saved and will die and go to a devil's state. It's a great responsibility upon us, In a matter of speaking, that some people might consider it to be a hard life, a tough life, but it's the best life in the world.
Amen.
It's the best life in the world. Trade it for nothing. Because God's with me. And He helps me. He directs me when I get out of line. He shows me when I'm wrong. He convicts me. That's another thing about that convicting thing.
He's faithful to hear us when we come to Him. All these things that we deal with helps give us patience to endure in this race that we're running. I pray that the Lord helps all of us to be patient. Brother Burke said this morning that everybody has a job to do. Everybody has a purpose. He put this body together as it pleased Him, and they've been given a job and a responsibility and a purpose. But if you haven't found out what your purpose or your responsibility, I hope you're patiently seeking to find what God would have you to do this morning. Because this is a race. And we're all coming down to the end of the line. None of us getting no younger. Time's not getting shorter. It ain't stopping. It's going to keep on going. The important thing is we do it in a manner that's pleasing to God and it blesses. These are my thoughts this morning. I pray the Lord will use them in our lives. Be a thought or a word on anyone's heart this morning.
Brother Armand, I'm thankful for my salvation today. He's put a lot on me that I didn't think I could do. Didn't have to do it alone. Lord, amazing. Wasn't what I asked for. Went much farther than I wanted. But He stayed with me. And there's a song, and I think it's Garth Brooks sings it, but it's called Unanswered Prayers. And he asked for something, didn't get it. It says in there, just because he didn't answer it doesn't mean he didn't hear you. And later on, he found out that what God gave him was better than what he would have gotten, what he prayed for. And I'm just thankful for that.
Amen. Amen. Lord knows best for us in every situation. He always knows best. He always knows best. Someone else this morning has something on that.
Brother Barry, I enjoyed your message.
Bless you. Anyone else this morning? If not, I'll stand and I'll be dismissed. Thank you all for coming today. At least somebody had it.
think about that Sunday school message that we heard today about our talents and what God has for us to do. Because we each have something that we can bring. And maybe you can't be there for those 3 days. Maybe you can't. I understand that. But there's a lot of work that's going to go into that. And we need to search our hearts. We need to talk to the Lord about it. Because just like you just said, He knows best. He knows best. And we cannot do it without Him. But we need to follow His will. If He gives us something to do, we have got to do it. As a church, we need to come together for this and do the Lord's will. And if we do that, that's all we can do. That's all we can do.
We have prayer about this. Lord, just do what the Lord wants to do. He'll take care of you. He'll take care of you. Someone else is coming. If not, service tonight at 6, still going through a church covenant. All that can will. They'll be back. All hearts and minds free. For the chair, I'll do some support.
Father in heaven, Lord, thank you for bringing us here today. Thank you for many blessings that you've showered down upon us. Thank you, Lord, for this message that we've heard. We ask you, Lord, to help us keep it in our hearts throughout this week. We might apply it to ourselves. We ask you, Lord, to hear the prayer request that's been made and be with the sick. Lord, we ask you to give us a burden for the lost. Lord, not pray for them, have them upon our minds, upon our hearts. Ask the Lord to watch over us and take care of us until we meet again. Forgive us our sins, Lord. It's favored we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah.